Oh yeah, you already know what time it is. You know what's going on. I am your host, Cam Silver.
I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And welcome back to another episode of the Silver Boys Podcast. So,
hey,
the weekend is finally here.
Yes,
college
sir.
Football playoffs, the first 12-team college football playoffs are here starting Friday. How we feeling?
Man, I can't wait to see how this 12-team playoff works compared to, the 4-team playoff that we had last year, the last several decades. It feels like centuries.
It's only been one decade.
it feels like centuries. I'm super excited for it because there's a lot of like matchups that we're getting that I feel like we wouldn't get in a 4-team playoff. Obviously, there's 8 more teams. But still, like, there's a lot more riding on certain games. There's a lot more, like, you got to make it to at least the All-State Sugar Bowl. You got to make it to the Verbal Fiesta Bowl. You got to make it to the Rose Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Like, these bowls in the quarterfinals, they mean something,
Yeah.
And I think a lot of teams are going to be fighting for that. A lot of teams are really, I feel like, are really good in this bracket that we currently have. And I feel like a lot of teams, may surprise a couple people. I think Penn State, like SMU, will surprise people. I think Notre Dame, Indiana, I think that'll be a surprising game no matter how it turns out. Because of how Indiana was playing, versus how Notre Dame was playing. Indiana, they lost to Oregon, obviously, a little bit ago in the season. So
Ohio State.
Ohio State, excuse me, thank you. They lost to Ohio State a little earlier in the season. And that raised a lot of question marks. It raised a lot of, like, can they really get it done? So I think it's just like, for certain teams, it's showing that they can get it done, or showing that, they belong here. I think that that's important too. Because 12 teams, there's a lot of teams that can get in now, so you got to show that you really belong here and it wasn't just a fluke. And you got to show that the committee knows what they're talking about, pretty much, I feel like.
Right. Let's start off with Indiana Notre Dame. So, for me personally, I think Indiana would just have to honestly just keep it close, just to just to earn everybody's respect after what you alluded to with the Ohio State game. Their run defense is actually pretty good. If I'm reading this right, yeah, their run defense is actually pretty good. They only allow 70 yards per game in rushing, and in their second in nation in yards per carry with 2.46. So they're all right, but they will have their hands full against Notre Dame. They have Jeremiah Love, who rushed for 949 yards and 15 touchdowns, and their own quarterback Riley Leonard rushed for 721 yards and had 14 touchdowns. So the ground game on Notre Dame's side, and then the run defense for Indiana is going to be huge. And then if Notre Dame can get that going, I think that'll offset them and then allow them to start going into the air and start allowing them do what they want to do. So it's gonna be I think it's gonna be an interesting game. I think it's gonna be a lot more interesting than people think. With Indiana, I guess Indiana being the Cinderella team, quote unquote, right? So I don't know. I'm very interested to see where this game will go, especially with Indiana's quarterback Curtis Rourke. He leads the nation in passing efficiency, and Notre Dame is third in points and points allowed this year in 13.6. So
So
yeah.
their defense is solid, and I think that's what we should take away from it. I hope Riley Leonard could get it done, like, when it counts, because I've seen a couple games from him where, like, it just seemed like, maybe, like, towards the end of the last stretch, that maybe, like, his play hasn't been maybe like what I expect, or like what certain people expect, leading down. They have all of these wins, but still, like, it's the eye of the game, and it's like, do you really like see what's happening like across the entire field? So I hope Riley Leonard could get it done, because I really do like him as a quarterback. Like, I really, really do. I think he's solid, top 10, obviously. I will put him in there. But it's just, we gotta see. But I think you're right with Indiana being the Cinderella team as of right now, because you always gotta have one in there.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. You're right. So, number 7 versus number 10, I think that'll be super, super interesting. See where that goes,
Like I said, that's the Friday night game. So that is the official first game that will kick off this 12-team playoff. So that will be fun out in South Bend. I believe that one's at 8 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Going on to Saturday. Saturday we have a full slate of games. So we got SMU versus Penn State. That will be the first one. Winner will advance to play the third seed Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl. And the last game with Indiana Notre Dame, the winner will play the second seed in Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. But yes, SMU and Penn State. Like I said, SMU is fast. They got some pretty good guys. Their running back, Breshard Smith. He was a receiver at Miami for 3 seasons, and then they had transferred him over to running back when he got to SMU. So pretty good running back actually for his first year. Rushed for over 1,000 yards, over 1,200 yards, and 14 touchdowns. He also had 35 catches, which is tied for the second most on their team, and had 303 yards and scored 4 touchdowns in the air. So that Penn State will have their hands full trying to work with that, but also Penn State has their own pretty good dynamic duo when it comes to running backs and Ka'Chawn Allen and Nicholas Singleton. Both of them I like both of them a lot. Both of them rushed for over 800 yards. They both had over 100 yards against Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, but they go against a pretty stout defense, for rushing defense for SMU, who only give up 93 yards per rush and only 2.7 yards per carry, which is actually the lowest in program history.
Yeah, that'll be a real interesting game. Penn State always known for their defense. So I think that that'll be interesting. And I truly believe that there'll be a better matchup for number three Boise State in that verbal Fiesta Bowl in the quarterfinals. Just because of like I said, that Penn State defense. But if you're saying SMU is that fast, like that'll be interesting to see how they match up against Boise State.
Right.
Because like you said, SMU's running back came over. He could catch out the backfield. He could run out the backfield, obviously. So that'll be interesting to see how he goes up against Gentry. How Gentry does. I want to see can a defense really stop that offensive line for Boise State, and can they really stop Gentry when it really counts? I think that's important because I feel like we have not seen him be stopped in all season long. I feel like
Yeah.
nobody really tested them up front like that, in my opinion. So I'm interested. That's why I feel like Penn State might have an edge over SMU, and then I want to, and then might have an edge over, Boise State if they get there because of that, that vaunted Penn State defense.
Right.
But like we said before, Penn State, arguably they haven't really played anybody like that. So going off of what we've seen from them before versus, how can we put this up now? I have confidence in them, but SMU, they had a real good showing to get to this 11th spot, man. Late down into the year, so I feel like they think that they're hot. They think that they're that they could get it done. So that's a dangerous team to go up against.
Yeah, I will. I'll give Penn State the fact that they played Ohio State, and now they've also played in a Big Ten championship game against Oregon. So I'll give them that. It's just a matter of actually winning the game for them now. I think that's where they are at this point. It's not even just the fact that they haven't played anybody. They played two pretty good teams, but I think now it's getting to the point where it's like, all right, can you really start winning these games? Can you start closing these games out? We've seen SMU. If you give SMU a sliver of hope, they're going to take it, just like they did against Clemson. They pushed that game all the way down to literally the last seconds, and after they were basically getting beat up the whole first half. So SMU is a team that doesn't quit. SMU is a team that will come to fight, and I'm very interested to see how Penn State will do, being at home in a whiteout, in the early afternoon. So yeah, we'll make our game picks right after we preview these last two. So next up will be Clemson and Texas. The winner will advance to play the fourth seed in Arizona State. Texas is second in points allowed at 12.5 and third in yards allowed at 250. So that's actually pretty good. Clemson, got in basically by the skin of their teeth. They just got in with that last second kick. If they didn't get that kick, then SMU moves up, and then with their faces, and Alabama would have been the team to have gotten in. But I'm very interested to see how this game will go. Want to see how Kate Klubnik does for Clemson. Actually, both of these quarterbacks have played against each other actually back when they were in high school in January of 2021. So that a nice little rivalry right there
Nice
doesn't hurt
love, nice
nobody.
love. Yeah.
We love that. But yeah, very interesting to see how Quinn Ewers does. Because I feel like he had chances in that SEC championship game, but he just didn't take it. Texas has a really good defense. I like their defense a lot. Obviously, like I said, they're top five in defense in total yards allowed and points allowed as well. So, gonna see how they do against Kate Klubnik and Phil Mafah in the backfield and the rest of this Clemson offense.
I'm interested. All right, no, I'm not interested. I should say I expect Texas to win this by at least two scores. And I'm putting that out there right now. I think Texas is just they have too much hype coming in as number one. They have too much talent on that team, number two. And Steve Sarkisian versus Dabo Swinney, like number one, like that's a matchup in
Going to be,
itself. In and
yeah.
of itself, because Dabo, he's been to these places before. He's been winning by the skin of his teeth and getting in before. So it's just a different mentality versus Steve Sarkisian. He has all his talent around him. He expects maybe this talent to just take him places and take team places that they need to go. But like you said, their defense is stellar. And I genuinely, me speaking, I feel like Clemson, like, they belong in here, but they also really don't. I'm a little like on both sides of the fence right there.
I feel that.
But I do believe Texas absolutely belongs there, obviously. And I think that they need to go in and they need to show that, we are the number one team in the nation. Forget Oregon, forget Ohio State,
Georgia.
and all that talent. Like, forget all that. Like for a while, like we were like, okay, Texas just might be the best team in the nation right now. And I think it's time that they come out and they show that. Quinn Ewers, with his injury, he hasn't really been like, too mobile, I feel like. Maybe he's kind of making like a little bit of like errant throws. He's trying to force things too much. So as long as he doesn't force things, and as long as like, he plays his game, he plays that Texas game, he plays under that Steve Sarkisian game, I think that they'll be fine. I do think that they'll win by two scores though. I really, really do.
Okay.
Really.
Yeah, no, I expect them to win as well. They I think they have to. I like that you said it's two scores, because for that, in my mind, that means that you are looking for them to basically put everybody on notice and make a statement. And
Exactly.
that's the exact road that I was about to go up myself. So, because Quinn Ewers is too he,
Too
talent
good.
wise,
Too
yes,
good.
talent wise, he's too good to be showing, the certain stuff that he showed, against Georgia. And, those 1 minute drills, and then, did he get the ball in overtime, if I'm not mistaken? I'm not sure. I forgot, but I think they did. But he has to get over that hump, and he has to, look good, because dude, there's a guy right behind you who has shown his toughness. He's shown that he can do just as much as you do and more in less
And
games
more.
that we've seen earlier this year, when he was dealing with his injury in Quinn Ewers. So yeah, I expect a statement win from Texas. Just putting that out there right now. I'll co-sign that with you easily.
And if they don't, then we have even more problems. Jay,
Yeah. I
we
mean,
have
like a
more
win,
problems than answers.
yeah. I mean, like a win is gonna be a win. Obviously the
A win.
playoffs, the whole point of the playoffs and any playoffs in any sport is to survive in advance. And that's what they if that's what they do, then that's what they do. But I think the goal, obviously the bottom line of this whole thing, is to obviously just win. But the win by a touchdown or two, or even more, is going to really put everybody like, okay, now this is something to look out for.
Exactly. And then if hypothetically they go up against Arizona State, you keep Arizona State on their heels too. And you're like, okay, this is who we're facing. Like, as Arizona State, I'm saying, like, this is who we're facing. Like, this is what they're good at. This is maybe what they show weakness in. But if they show no weakness in Texas, which I believe that they can, because I personally feel like they were doing that for a majority of the season. And I was really, really high on them until like, some things started to go wrong a little bit. But I think that they need to come in and they need to show like we're no dogs in town, like we can do this, we can get over the hump, and it's important for Quinn Ewers, like, to really show that he can do it, and don't let Cade Klubnik come in there and start just teeing off on that
Yeah,
Texas defense either.
Can't let that happen in Austin. They got to go crazy in Austin.
No, they have to. They
They got to
have
go
to.
crazy down there in Austin. Moving on to the last game, to the nightcap, to the game that everybody has circled. I believe by the time 8 o'clock comes around Saturday night, everybody's gonna be in front of a TV somewhere, because I know I sure will be. We got Tennessee traveling up to the Midwest to go see Ohio State. Oh, when I tell you I am looking forward to this, Kyle, because I want to see how does Ohio State rebound after getting their heads bashed in by Michigan? How does this $20 million roster respond? Are they going to be tough? Or are they going to be the same way that they were against Michigan, and Ryan Day trying to do a little too much, more than he has to, trying to, establish his run game when in reality he has some of the best receivers in the country? What is that? Like, what is all of that going to look like? Tennessee has done their thing this year. It was an expectation, but I've been impressed by how that they've been able to handle themselves and handle the schedule that they had this year. Being able to beat, teams like, Alabama coming in, and being able to, put their stamp on some of these games, and now they're finally back in the playoffs, and they look to make some noise and hopefully capitalize on an Ohio State team that is kind of down in the dirt, if believe it or not.
As of right now, and like I would say, like all of the question marks surrounding Ryan Day, and that adds to a level of just worry that in that locker room, and it adds to a level of just worry around that whole organization, because now that's more pressure on Ryan Day to really coach his butt off, coach his tail off, and try and win this game, which can be either a pro or it can be a con. Because if he's trying to do too much, like you alluded to before, and he gets his team into a situation where they're not ready for, or just something bad happens, then all of Ohio, the entire state is going to be calling for Ryan Day's job. And I think that that's a huge problem, because like you said, a $20 million roster, and to me, there's nothing that's gonna allude to the fact that, or show me that they're gonna stop, doing what they're doing in terms of just like in the future of having a highly talented roster and having a highly paid roster. They're always gonna be top three, I feel like, of 15, 20, $25 million. And I feel like that number is just gonna keep going up, up and up. But if as that number keeps going up, up and up, you gotta show that you're able to win. And you're able to really prove to, Ohio State, the organization, Ohio State, the fans, that everybody's worth it, including the coach too. And, after losing four straight to Michigan, everybody just wants him gone. Everybody wants him gone, because to Ohio State, it's a beat Michigan pretty much, organization. I would feel like, and anytime they face Michigan, they just the last four times they have not beat them. Going up against Tennessee, that's big. It's really, really big. Tennessee feels like they're hot. They feel like, they could get some things done. They could really, like, I don't know, man. This is tough, because I seen an Ohio State that could score 30 plus on you, and then I've seen an Ohio State that scores 7 points.
It's frustrating, because if we get the same Ohio State team from Michigan, obviously I think we know how that ends. But if we get the same Ohio State team that played Oregon a while back, or even Indiana, then I'm like, okay, like I'm not worried. But the problem is, it's like how will they get out of their own way? How will Coach Ryan Day get out of his own way? That's the biggest question right there. Like, throughout the season, Ohio State is first in points allowed with just 11, and also yards allowed, and 241 per game. Tennessee is tied at fourth with in points allowed with 14, and then fourth in yards allowed per game at 278. So obviously, two good defenses, two good offenses. Who is going to be able to sustain better drives? And sadly, by the way that we remember it last, I think we will all pick Tennessee over Ohio State, just because of obviously the last game that we've been talking about. But clearly, right here, I believe the expectations should obviously be Ohio State to win. If Ryan Day, I'm telling you this right now, if Ryan Day does not get out of this game with a win,
Oh, he's done.
I co-sign Paul Feinbaum. I would fire him before he gets to midfield to hit, to coach
Like,
to get to the other coach.
don't come back on the on. Don't come back in the locker room. You ain't coming on the plane. You ain't coming on the bus. You're nothing. Absolute. Don't even come into the. Don't even come. Don't come to the campus. Don't come to the campus. Just don't. Don't. Don't.
And
What are we
so,
paying these dudes $20 million for if you can't get it done?
yeah, it's facts. That's
Why are
facts.
you in your own way? And that's the problem.
I'm just worried because I'm thinking of Tennessee right now, and you know how great teams, great coaches, they always pick up and they always take from what other teams have done. I'm just thinking of what Tennessee is sitting there doing. They're watching tape from with the Oregon game, they're watching tape from the Michigan game, and they're just taking in what those defenses did to that
Yep.
offense, and they're probably going to try to sell it and package it and keep it, keep it confined only to, two scores at least, and touchdowns at least. So yeah, I feel like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee would win this one and come out.
I
I
really
wouldn't
wouldn't.
be.
I agree. I really wouldn't either.
I wouldn't. The more I think about this game, the more I'm looking at this game, like, bro, like this is actually kind of dangerous to look at. But we will make our game pick. So Indiana Notre Dame, who do you have?
I'm gonna take Notre Dame. I like Riley Leonard. I'm gonna take Notre Dame.
Same. I like their defense too. I like their secondary a lot.
Yep.
SMU, Penn State.
I'm gonna take Penn State because of that defense.
Okay. I like it. I like it. I'll
Penn State for that defense.
Yeah, I'll go with Penn State as well. I don't know if SMU has really played a strong enough team like Penn State. You know what I mean? Like I said, at least Penn State has played the Oregons and Ohio States. At least SMU, they played BYU, but BYU started to tail off. They played, Clemson, but Clemson just got in. So, it more we'll see. We'll see. You
We'll
know what I
see.
mean? Clemson, Texas, I think we've already established
Yeah, Texas
Texas.
better win.
We've already established Texas, and then Tennessee, Ohio State. It's another one. It's a Ohio State better win. It's another one. But I think what I just said just crept into your mind with the fact that Tennessee could be lurking.
You know what? I'm gonna take Tennessee. You know
Okay,
what?
I
I'm gonna
like it.
take Tennessee.
I like it.
I could be completely wrong, and that's okay, guys. That is A-okay. I learned from my mistake, but I'm gonna take Tennessee because I do not trust Ohio State whatsoever. I just
Okay.
don't.
I don't trust Ohio State either, but they're at home. It's the first playoff game. It's at night.
Oh, don't let them lose at home. Okay, oh
I
my God.
know. At night, at of all times,
Yo,
right? It's gonna be
oh
freezing
my
cold
God.
outside.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I'll take Ohio State. I like that Tennessee pick though. I really do. And like I said before, I can see it happening. I can see the upset happening, but we'll see. And whoever wins that game actually goes on to see Oregon. So I know Ohio
I
State
was
will
just
love
about to
to.
say though, the thing is though, is that Ohio State would match up better against Oregon than Oregon matching up against Tennessee.
Tennessee,
If
yeah. And I
Oregon goes
know.
up against Tennessee, they're gonna
And
wash, they're gonna blow them out the water.
I also thought the same thing with Penn State, but Penn State held their own. So I can't definitively say that. But I will say Ohio State is. If Ohio State can't get past Tennessee, I know that they'll be looking to chop to get their revenge back on Oregon after
Oregon,
what we've seen happen
exactly.
in Eugene
Yeah.
earlier this season. So, yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna still take Tennessee. We're gonna see what
Oh,
happens.
you're going to.
I'm taking them. Take. I'm taking the balls, boy.
The Volunteers. All
Yeah.
right. So we got about 4 to 5 minutes left. So let's go on to the NFL. A lot of things have been going on over there. Let's just start up with some stuff. Patrick Mahomes, he has a high ankle sprain that he suffered in Cleveland, but he is still expected to play as he has been practicing all week. So that's a good sign right there. Lions have 21 players on IR, including guys like Alexander Anzalone, David Montgomery, who's now out for the season. So Lions went from being the favorite to get out of the NFC now to looking like,
Can y'all even make it there to the NFC Championship?
Yeah, that's the worry. That's the biggest worry. They would have to really punch in and get that number one seed, which is going to be tough to do.
Feels like what happened in San Francisco a couple of years ago, like last year or 2 years ago. Like, you know, how all of their players were essentially just gone, you know?
Was that a couple of years ago? I don't remember that. For the most part, they've all been healthy. But I think this past
When they,
year,
I'm just
even.
saying, like, when they lost, like, they had like their third or fourth string quarterback in, when
When they lost to the Eagles in the NFC
I'm saying, like,
Championship.
it just feels like they were on this high, and then all of a sudden, all of these injuries come in, and now, boom, you're
Oh
completely
yeah,
out.
if yeah, no, nah, if they simply didn't lose their quarterbacks, then it's probably a better
Y'all,
game.
yeah, exactly. But David Montgomery, I feel like he's arguably just as important.
Oh yeah, obviously. Well, obviously they use that the two running back system, so they're
Exactly.
running back by committee basically. So, Michael Vick accepts a head coaching job at Norfolk State, which is I think that's gonna be pretty cool to see right there. See what the kids can learn from him. But it's the breaking news that happened not too long ago. The Falcons have officially benched Kirk Cousins for Michael Penix Jr. In the last five games, Cousins has thrown one touchdown and nine interceptions, and they have gone 1-4 over that five-game span. He also has 18 turnovers this season, which is tied for the most in his career.
Wait a minute, wait a minute,
Bruh.
wait a minute, wait a minute. Hold on, hold on. Over the last 5 weeks, you told me that he has nine interceptions. That what you just told me?
Correct.
And he has in what's the number 18? What was that number?
18 turnovers this season.
So you mean to tell me in five games he had half of his turnovers?
Yeah, basically.
Over and over, over, over. We'll just go back to week 11. So over 10 weeks he had nine. Over 5 more weeks he had another nine. Now that's a problem. That's a problem. Oh, that's a problem. I don't like that.
I'm happy they identified it. I wish they would have identified it earlier, though.
Earlier, going last week, what he went 11 of 17 for 112 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and could have turned it over a couple more times too. So it's just like, what more is he proving to that Falcons organization that he can actually take them to the promised land? Nothing. It seems like.
No. So since the game down in on November 10th, a game against the Saints, it's interception, and then Broncos interception, Chargers four interceptions, Minnesota
Oh.
two interceptions, and then one interception against the Raiders. So
That's.
yeah.
Turnover prone, like you alluded to before we started recording, he's immobile now. That Achilles injury, that does a lot to you. We see how Aaron Rodgers is now. It does a lot to you. So I'm glad Michael Penix is getting his play now. He finally gonna get some PT, some burn, and see how, what packages they have for him, how they're gonna get the ball out of his hands. Because, he's not like he's also a mobile quarterback either. In his time at Washington, he was a lot more of a pocket presence quarterback, slinging the rock, wherever, all over the field. And, he has some weapons with him in Drake London. I don't know, man. This is gonna be interesting because when they drafted him, we were both like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, why would you take
Why
this?
would you do
Why would you take
that?
Michael Penix if you had Kirk Cousins and you signed him to all this money? Now we understand why.
I think we kind of also a little bit understood why in that first week against the Steelers, how immobile he looked, but then after that he comes back against the Eagles and he does his thing, and then it's like, okay, well, we'll see. But then and then it was weird because even in the middle of the season, when they got to Tampa Bay and they played them in overtime and he had 509 passing yards. So it's crazy to see how a flip switches like that, and then next thing you know, you go from this to this.
Exactly.
So.
I'm real interested to see how Michael Penix is gonna look. I know a lot of like the conversation around him was like he was injury prone, coming into the draft and whatnot. And a lot of people were like really upset about the Falcons drafting him that high. But now it's his time to prove it, and now it's his time to really show everybody why you got drafted this high and why you belong here.
Yeah, and you're also fighting for a playoff spot. If they end up tying with the Bucks, they will get the nod over the Bucks because they beat the Bucks twice this season. So, yeah, that's this is huge. These last 3 weeks are huge right now for a lot of these teams. I wish we had more time to get into the clinching scenarios, but we'll get into some of that next week. But
We'll start it off next week with that.
Great episode this week. Merry Christmas to everybody. Hope you all enjoy and watch some football that will finally be on Christmas now, and even some basketball if you can find a good game or so. my head. But till then, I'm your host, Cam Silver.
I'm your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And this is Silver Boys.